Hey everybody, and welcome to the four-week Jonah Bible study at First United Methodist Church. I don't know if we introduced ourselves last week, but
I don't think we did.
Weldon Varez.
And I'm Katie Black.
And we're the pastors at First Methodist. First Methodist is located in downtown Lake Charles at the corner of Broad and Kirkman. Today is Wednesday, February the 17th.
Mm-hmm. Ash Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday. And just a little while ago, we had the first of two Ash Wednesday services. Mm-hmm. 12 noon, and then this evening at 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m. So if you weren't able to make it today, it's at 12. Join us at 6 p.m. It'll be live streamed and it'll be in our sanctuary.
Now we have two guests here joining us on the table that we're going to talk about later on in our study today. One is Pharaoh, let my people go.
Did you have to do that in the song?
Yeah.
Okay. You might not know what I'm talking about. Pharaoh.
Oh, everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that song.
Yeah. We'll talk about Pharaoh somewhat in a little bit. And then we have here
a jar,
olive wood jar. Mm-hmm. Steve Landry gave me that, by the way.
Oh, really?
And I bought that on his trip to Israel.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that, both of these, in the course of our study for today. Jonah chapter 3 is where we are today.
Mm-hmm. So this is where Jonah actually does what he should have done in chapter 1 when God says, go to Nineveh. In chapter 3, Jonah goes to Nineveh. And so we'll see how his journey goes. But before we get into that, I've got just a little bit of an opener question for y'all and for us. So Jonah is going on a trip, and both of us, COVID willing, like to travel. What is something that you like to bring back? What's a souvenir that you like to try and find when you're traveling?
Yeah. Almost always now I buy a refrigerator magnet. A little magnet I put on my refrigerator, and that way in the morning when I get orange juice or Diet Coke later in the day, I look on the refrigerator and I say, oh yeah, I remember going there.
Cool.
So it helps me to think back and remember those trips.
Good little reminder.
How about you?
So when I'm traveling internationally, and usually in a country that has a different language, one thing I like to do is to find a local bookstore, and I like to pick up a Harry Potter book. And there are 7 Harry Potter books, so if I go back to that country, I'll pick up the second book or the third book, and so I'll slowly start doing a collection in other languages. And I tell myself that I'm going to learn these other languages through reading.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
But I've got several different languages of Harry Potter books.
How cool.
Yeah.
How cool. I've bought over the years some different translations of the Bible in different languages and have them back here.
You have a Hebrew?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Have Hebrew and Spanish and French.
Oh, that's cool.
One in Hindi from India. That's pretty cool.
That's really neat. Mm-hmm. And it's neat to just kind of flip through and see how it, especially when you get to something like Hebrew and then it's right to left instead of left to right.
Mm-hmm.
Different symbols that I don't recognize.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I read Hindi and Spanish and French and Hebrew.
We're on camera now. Keep talking about that.
Yeah, I read all that. Yeah.
Fluent.
Fluently. Seriously, though, as we get to our scripture for today, would you open us with a word of prayer, Katie,
and
then we'll read from chapter 3.
Yeah. Gracious God, we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks to help give us a reminder that we are human and that we are yours. Lord, sometimes we need that reminder more than others. Sometimes we think we're invincible. But you call to us and say that we are your children and that we are mortals. And gracious God, we need that reminder. Open your scripture to us today and let us see what you have to say for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, when you watch something on Netflix or Amazon Prime and it's a series going up, it always begins with previously on.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of recaps.
So
let's do previously on Jonah. What's happened so far?
So,
say one thing and I'll say another.
The Lord says to Jonah, go to Nineveh.
The word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, nope, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to Tarshish.
Mm-hmm.
And went off in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. And he gets on a boat, and the boat gets into the water, and there's a massive storm that comes up.
And the sailors are freaked out, and they figure someone has gone against the will of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And they find out it's Jonah who has gone against the will of the Lord, and so they confront Jonah.
And Jonah says, it's me. Mm-hmm. Throw me overboard.
And they say, I don't want to throw you overboard. We're going to keep rowing. But the storm gets worse and worse. They think they're going to die. So they throw Jonah overboard.
Then God provided a fish.
Mm-hmm. And it swallows him up. And he's in the fish for 3 days and three nights.
But in the belly of the fish, Jonah prays.
Mm-hmm. And he is realizing that he messed up. He's praying and that God and he's giving thanks that God delivers him.
And then the last thing that we read last week was the, it's kind of gross language, yeah. The fish vomited Jonah up.
I think the King James Version says spew.
That's a little bit better than vomited.
I don't know if it's better or worse.
I think it's a little bit better. Yeah.
Spewed.
Yeah. The fish got rid of Jonah.
Yes.
And that's
on
where
to
we
dry land.
Yeah. That's where we finished last week. So now, is that all the intro questions that we have?
Oh, I had one more, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but I wanted to just kind of bring it up again. Why does Jonah hate Nineveh so much?
Obviously he does, because he says,
he doesn't want to go.
Heck no, I'm not going, yeah. And he goes in the opposite direction.
Why does he hate it?
Yeah, and we kind of talked about this last week, but it really is important for us to get a handle on that, mm-hmm. And it's just our theories. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you guys at home, we talked about it last week, but what's your theory? Why did Jonah say, heck no, I'm not going to Nineveh. And he took off in the opposite direction. We gave him 10 seconds last week.
I think we did.
Yeah.
So 3 this week?
Yeah, 3 seconds.
Type fast.
2, 3. All right, our theories.
So our theories are that Nineveh is clearly a city with a reputation that is wicked. God says that too. The wickedness has come up before me. So it's got a reputation and Jonah has heard of it.
He's heard of it and he's one man now, mm-hmm. and they have 120,000 people. Mm-hmm. So it's one guy going to a city of 120,000 people. I'm not doing it.
And we talked a little bit last week. Nineveh is in the Northern Kingdom, right? And they have already, the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom have split. And so Nineveh is starting to slowly encroach and start to becoming enemies with Israel.
Yeah.
And have been marching onward and onward. And so God is saying, go to Nineveh. He's saying, go to the enemy lines.
Right. Nineveh is the most powerful city in the world. They are a threat to the people of Judah, mm-hmm. to the southern kingdom. They've started to encroach in the northern kingdom. Mm-hmm. And the people in Judah are terrified of Nineveh. And we theorized last week that Jonah, being the patriot that he was to the southern kingdom, is saying, if I go up there, my friends and relatives are going to think that I'm a traitor. Mm-hmm. So I'm a patriot. I'm not going up there.
Mm-hmm. And we also think maybe he's a little bit scared, which understandably, there's 120,000 people. And God says, go and tell these people. They might just go,
He's scared. And our theory is he hated them.
Yes.
He just despised the people of Nineveh.
They are the enemies, and they are mm-hmm. the ones who are attacking his people. Mm-hmm. Understandably, he hates Ninevites.
Yeah. So to us, it makes all the sense in the world that Jonah said, I'm not going to go. Mm-hmm. But God was a little bit insistent.
Absolutely. And so Jonah eventually says at the end of chapter 2, what I have vowed, I will make good. Yeah. And so I'm going to go to Nineveh.
All right, let's get to chapter 3 now. You ready? Guys at home, chapter 3. All right, I'm going to read, Katie, verses 1 through 5.
Okay, perfect.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Okay, let's kind of chew on that just for a minute.
Yeah.
The first thing that jumps out at me is three words in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Second time. I love that.
It's a little bit sassy almost, mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. let's try this yeah. again. Or, mm-hmm. you know, the director, take 2, mm-hmm. go to Nineveh.
It's a little bit sassy, but boy, I'm thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. Second chances.
Mm-hmm. Word of the Lord came to Weldon a second time, came to Katie a second time. Thank goodness mm-hmm. that God gives us a second chance, mm-hmm. and a third chance.
And a third, and a fourth, yeah. and a fifth. Yeah. It really is. I say it's a little bit sassy because it's not being said to me.
Right, right, right.
When it's said to me, I'm like, woo, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But it really is. It's a beautiful moment in which God says, and he doesn't say, again, I say to you. He says, go to the great city mm-hmm. of Nineveh and proclaim the message mm-hmm. I gave to you.
Yeah. Doesn't say, as I told you before mm-hmm. and had to get your attention to get you to do. Mm-hmm. Just says, go to the city of Nineveh and, yeah. and proclaim.
Like the first two chapters didn't happen.
Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Mm-hmm. So today, join with Katie and me in giving thanks to God that he comes to us a second time mm-hmm. and a third time and a thousandth time.
Mm-hmm. And then this other phrase that's sticking out to me in verse 3, Jonah obeyed. Jonah obeyed. The whole story of the first part is go there, and Jonah says, but Jonah ran away. And it says, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord.
You know something we don't know that just is kind of dawning on me? It always, prior to this, when the fish vomited up Jonah, mm-hmm. I assumed he vomited him up close to Nineveh. Mm-hmm. And Jonah just said, but it doesn't say that.
Yeah, so Nineveh is not, it's not a port city. It's mm-hmm. inland a mm-hmm. little bit. So we can imagine it probably gave him up pretty close to Nineveh, but he still has to go and walk.
Yeah, all we know all is it vomited Jonah onto dry land.
And maybe there was a bathtub nearby.
Yeah, yeah. So he had to get up and go to Nineveh, mm-hmm. and it could have been a great distance. We don't know. Mm-hmm.
But we know it's a great distance from that sea where he was. I mean, it was a good little bit, and maybe Nathan will be able to show us that map again, because it's pretty far inland, so he's got a good journey.
He had a journey ahead of him, and a journey that he didn't want to take, but now he was going to take it.
But he does.
It's interesting how it describes Nineveh. Mm-hmm. Very important city. It took 3 days to visit the city.
Yeah. So, and I imagine that's just kind of like a circumference, like going straight across a city, it takes 3 days. And so it says that he goes a day's journey into the city.
Yeah. I kind of laughed to myself as I was reading it, because I'm thinking back to how you've been saying every week, everything Jonah does, it works.
He's got the Midas touch.
He does. The people don't repent on the third day. It's the first day.
First day.
On the first day, Jonah started to the city. He proclaimed 40 days more and Nineveh will be overturned. They believed God. They declared a fast. From the grace of the least, they put on sackcloth.
Also, I just have to point out, Jonah's sermon is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words.
Yeah. 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 It's not full of illustrations. It's not full of convincing things. He just says, 40 days and Nineveh's going to be overturned.
And they're, oh, okay. Yeah,
the whole city repents.
And they're like, okay, let's figure out repentance. So let's go. What? Like, I feel like, and maybe I'm reading into Jonah, I don't feel like he's given this his full heart. he doesn't go all the way into the city. He goes a day into the city. And it says he proclaims, but I imagine him going, 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't say he's repeating it over and over. He's not beating his chest. He's not crying out, repent.
There's something about Jonah that really works.
It is, yeah.
Everywhere
and it's not
goes.
Jonah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
I mean, if we were worried about him being worried, I don't think Jonah's got it. God's got it.
Exactly. Well said. They repented from the greatest to the least, and they put on sackcloth. Mm-hmm. All through the scripture, there are two signs when people repent. Sackcloth and ashes.
Yeah.
Today's Ash Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And we did a little different today.
We did, yeah.
Usually, with the imposition of ashes, we put on the forehead mm-hmm. and say, from dust you have come, to dust you shall return. Mm-hmm. But today, is on the hand.
That same kind of cross mark. But we still say those words, remember that from dust you came and to dust you shall return. To remember that you are only human, and the day is coming in which we will die.
Yeah, and return to God. And so mm-hmm. we repent mm-hmm. in dust and ashes. Mm-hmm. And it harkens back to Jonah and the people of Nineveh who repented before God.
Yeah. I also want to point out this thing that he says in his sermon. He says 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 is a number that is familiar both to Jewish people and to Christian people. 40 seems to be a number that comes up a lot in the Bible.
All through the Bible, 40 seems to be this kind of
ominous.
Yeah, mysterious number, and it's used over and over again. Mm-hmm. Katie and I did a little research on this prior to this study today. We're going to tell you several examples where mm-hmm. 40 is mentioned.
Yeah, so one that I can think of is I can think of three different people who go into the desert and fast for 30 days. You've got Moses, that Old Testament prophet. You also have Elijah. And you also have Jesus in the New Testament, all going into the desert and fast for 40 days, 40 nights.
Yeah, that's one. The Israelites.
The Israelites.
When they escaped from Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
How long were they in the desert, the wilderness? 40 years.
40 years.
So 40 again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have 40 days fasting in the wilderness, 40 days the Israelites in the desert.
Yeah. And we also have the prophet Ezekiel. He does something a little bit strange in kind of making a point about the sins, the iniquity of Israel. He lays on his, I believe it's his right side, for 40 days and 40 nights. So he's laying on his side to kind of make a point about the sins of Judah.
How long?
40 days.
40. You have the first three kings of Israel.
This is so neat, yeah.
Mm-hmm, who served 40 years each. King Saul, King David, King Solomon. Their reigns 40 years.
That's when the kingdom was united. 40 years, 40 years, and 40 years. And then after that, it's not 40 years and the kingdom's divided. So another one is the story of David and Goliath. So Goliath goes and he is taunting Israel for 40 days. So he is just every day, who is big enough and bad enough to take on me, Goliath? Day one, day two, all the way to day 40. He taunts them for 40 days.
40 days. With the story of Noah and the ark,
mm-hmm.
it rained for 40 days.
40 nights.
There's that 40 again.
Mm-hmm. And so Jonah says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It's an ominous number.
Yep. If you want a fun little thing to do, Google 40 in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see the many, many times that the number 40 appears.
It comes up, yeah. And so I don't know if Nineveh knows about this number 40, but they seem to recognize something is coming in 40 days. And so they repent. The greatest and the least put on sackcloth. I'm going to start in verse 6, and I'm going to read, I think, through... I'm just going to finish it out if that's all
okay.
Right. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, and he covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened.
Okay, we didn't plan on doing this, Katie, but let's brainstorm on mm-hmm. it and ask you guys at home to do this too. We talked about the ashes. This also talks about sackcloth.
Yeah.
What is it about sackcloth, wearing sackcloth, that is significant?
So sackcloth is a very rough material. The closest I can think of is like burlap sacks or like gunny sacks. And you're putting on something that is it's very tactile. It's uncomfortable. And you are aware when you are wearing sackcloth it's not this nice cotton
right,
silk
right.
that you're wearing. It hurts.
It irritates.
It irritates. Uh-huh. And it can grind your skin down.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking of two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One is that when we repent, wearing sackcloth should remind us constantly what we're doing and why we're doing it. Well, my clothes are irritating me. Oh, yes, I'm repenting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm to be a different person now. And
right.
so it's a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing, a sackcloth is about as basic as you can get of mm-hmm. something to wear.
Yeah, it says the king takes off his royal robes.
Yeah.
And puts on sackcloth.
Yeah. So that everyone's wearing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's standing out above anybody else. No one's wearing the real fancy garments. It's the basics.
Now, here's something interesting, and I want to see what you think about this. It's not just the people wearing sackcloth. They're going out into the field and finding the cows and shoving sackcloth onto the cows. I imagine they're poking holes for the legs and they're not letting the cows eat or drink. This is very strange. This is the only time in the Bible I can think of in which the animals are also called for repentance.
Verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Why the beast? Ask you at home, why do you think the beast, the cows, are being covered with sackcloth?
I've got a theory. I think it's bless their hearts. I don't think the Ninevites know how to repent. I think they're just giving it their best shot and just, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to go all in.
They're throwing the spaghetti against the wall and whatever sticks.
Yeah. And we just want to make a show that we are sorry.
Yeah.
And so if that means I'm going to go and, you know, put pajamas on the cat, I'll put pajamas on the cat.
Yeah.
I think it really is just a show of kind of innocence of these people who are trying their best but don't even know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
But they get the idea, sackcloth, ashes. Okay, everybody and everything is going to get sackcloth and ashes.
I think that's a good thought. I think that's valid. In giving some deference to them, if that would not be so, but I think that'd be so.
Sure.
But if that would not be so, I would think that it's to be a reminder to them of everywhere they look, we are to repent. Mm-hmm. So they had the cattle all around. So let's put the sackcloth on the cattle. Mm-hmm. Not that the cattle need to repent, but I need to remember to repent.
And when I see them, I will.
So it's like billboards all over. Repent, 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 repent.
Sticky notes everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So they put on the cattle to remind them that I need to repent.
Yeah.
But that's a really good question to struggle with.
And I think also the same thing we were talking about earlier with that equalizing. Not even the cows are above God's judgment.
Mm.
So we are all in this, and we are doing a unified show of repentance.
Mm-hmm. So hence we come to Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
You have Moses in the book of Exodus who appears before the most powerful man in the world and says, "Let my people go."
Mm-hmm.
And Pharaoh bucks him over it, and you have the great story of that confrontation in the Exodus. Here you have not a direct confrontation between Jonah and the king of Nineveh, but the king of Nineveh knows.
He hears the word of Jonah, and he hears the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very different reaction than what Pharaoh says, at least at first.
Pharaoh said, "No, I'm not going to do it." That was pretty good.
That was great.
Yeah. But the king of Nineveh said, yes. And he repented.
Mm-hmm. And so he takes off this fancy bust and puts on sackcloth and ashes.
Very good. And we didn't plan on that.
We did not.
Yeah.
I think they can tell
that
we didn't plan on that.
Oh, that's good, though. That's perfect. All right. Let's continue with it because the story continues in chapter 4, but we're not going to get to chapter 4 yet. I love verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
When God saw what they did. Did you read this yet?
I did, but read it again, please.
When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that when we repent, God acknowledges our repentance.
Yeah, my verse says he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. I love that because this is the second time God has relented in this story. We see the storm, and as soon as Jonah goes into the water, God relents and God provides for the people. And then here you have 40 days more, and the storm is coming. This great calamity, we don't know what it's going to be, but the city will be overthrown.
Mm-hmm.
But God relents and spares the people and provides for the people.
And they became basically different people and began to follow what God was telling them to do.
Absolutely.
What does that mean to us today to obey what God is saying for us to do?
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting just to notice both Jonah and the Ninevites are on this repentance and obedience journey together. And I think that's true of us too. We are all on our own journey, in many ways, of repentance.
Yeah.
Of obeying God. And Ash Wednesday is probably the best day to remember this, that we are setting our feet back onto God's path. And what does that look like? And it looks different for Jonah than it does for the Ninevites.
Okay, that's a really good observation that Jonah and the people of Nineveh are both on this journey of repenting and following God.
Yeah. And so are we.
And so are we.
And I think Jonah's journey is going to look a little bit different than the Ninevites. The Ninevites get the message, they hear it, and I mean, we say they are the evil ones in this story, and they hear the word and they are gung-ho, they are going to put on the sackcloth and ash, and they are going to repent. Is Jonah doing this too, I guess is my question.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
B plus, B minus.
As we get to chapter 4, yeah, we see that it doesn't seem to have really taken with Jonah, but I don't know that that's the whole story.
Yeah.
Maybe there is a lot more to Jonah that we don't know.
True.
So that's kind of a cliffhanger for next week with chapter 4 as to how Jonah responds to all this. Mm-hmm. We want to believe that Jonah learned some important lessons and became this great evangelist for the Lord, mm-hmm. That he was all about God's mercy and understanding mm-hmm. and preaching it. But we aren't left with that conclusion.
Yeah, but like Jonah, we also have that. We have these great hopes and dreams of being gung-ho for God all the time. And yet we have our moments too. So I think Jonah's very relatable in this. And not in a good way. He identifies with my worst instincts in myself.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. Same here. Okay, and we brought this mm-hmm. with the little jar. For a purpose.
So one thing that we're talking about today is repentance. And one way I was looking at repentance was I found a scripture that I thought just really helped kind of go back and forth with what the Ninevites were doing and what God does and what Jonah is doing. And this is from Jeremiah. So if you want to flip back a few chapters into the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 18. And this is a story from another prophet. And he's going and making another message. And I love this little story, and we'll talk about it in just a minute. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 8 from Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 8.
Wait.
Okay, we're still flipping.
See, if I'm not there, that means y'all aren't there. All right, I'm there.
Okay, so you're there now, too. Okay, the word of the Lord, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?" declares the Lord. "Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned."
Mm. So as this is the jar, mm-hmm. God shapes us. Mm-hmm. And we just have to be willing for God to do his will in our lives.
Mm-hmm. And as the potter had that jar and it just wasn't it, I just imagine him smashing it and just starting again and just completely reworking it over and over until it gets right. God does that with Israel. God does that with us over and over again.
So at the end of chapter 3, where are we? Mm-hmm. What's the cliffhanger?
So the cliffhanger is Jonah has gone to Nineveh. He has preached
one sentence.
Mm-hmm. They listened. Mm-hmm. Everybody's put on sackcloth and ashes. There's nothing but sackcloth all over.
Including
the
king.
Nineveh, including the king. The robes are gone.
Yeah.
And they say, maybe God will relent. And God says, I will relent.
Okay, and so there we are, leading up to chapter 4 mm-hmm. and the response of Jonah. Mm-hmm. Not to be a spoiler, but it's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
So next week we'll do chapter 4 and wrap up the book of Jonah.
Absolutely.
If you haven't had a chance to attend Ash Wednesday service yet, join us tonight at 6 o'clock. Be live streaming or in person in the sanctuary at First Methodist.
We hope to see you there.
All right, let me close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this time spent reading and discussing and studying your holy word. Thank you, Lord, that you do come to us a second time and a third time and a fourth time, that you continue, Lord, to offer us another chance. We're thankful for your mercy and for your grace. Continue, Lord, to bless us and to use us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Have a great week.